Welcome to a history of the Inca. Episode 37, Rebels Until the End. Hello everyone and welcome once again to a history of the Inca. I am your host, Nick Mashinsky. Well everyone, this is our final episode for a good chunk of time. I know, it has been a much shorter season than usual. I had actually hoped to have an interview lined up to release in another 2 weeks, but time just has not been on my side. While our daycare was unscathed during the winter hiatus, it was shut down twice due to COVID these past months, forcing me to work at night when I would normally be reading, researching, and writing for the show. And then there's just the prep work we are trying to do before our twins come. If all goes well, that won't be for a few more weeks, but we just don't know. It could be tomorrow, and that is what we've kind of had to prepare for. If there was only one child coming, I think I could pull off continuing the show. But with two babies and a two-year-old as well, I just don't see how that's wise. So the show will be back in August or September in some form, whether we pick up where we left off or we explore some topics in more detail. I'm still pondering all of that. Either way, I'm going to take some wise advice from listener Cosman when it comes to the show. Take your time. I'll still be on Facebook and Twitter. You may find me on the latter late at night or very early in the morning doing an Ask Me Anything. Who knows? And while it will be some time until this version of the show returns, our Spanish version will continue to pump out episodes. And that is because since Alicia and Jason translate, host, and produce that version, all I have to do is upload the episode and update the website. I thank them very much for all that they do, and I encourage you to listen to that version as well. In our last episode, Tupac Capac, a trusted Inca official and brother to Tupac, attempted to raise a rebellion using the Yanacona class. We learned what the Yanacona were and how they were a distinct servant class used by the Inca to do everything from attending huacas to acting as caracas. Tupac's plot was eventually discovered before he had hoped, and he was either killed in battle or captured and executed. Many of the Yanacona who decided to follow this ambitious Inca also suffered a similar fate. That is until Mama Oklo, the Coya, convinced her husband to end the executions and relinquish the remaining Yanacona so that they may serve her instead. This the Inca did, but no doubt Tupac's trust in his family members was likely shaken after this particular rebellion. This week we take a look at another rebellion and an interesting way that it was addressed. We cover some other projects that Tupac undertook as Sapa Inca, and then we say goodbye to the seemingly tireless warrior. Enjoy. One can almost picture the look on Tupac's face when he received yet another chasqui with a seemingly dire message. Again? Really? Unfortunately for Tupac, he would once again be called away from his capital to handle another rebellion. Though, if I am completely honest, given the amount of time he spent on campaign during his life, Tupac may have relished the Capacnan more than Cusco. The exact moment of this rebellion is difficult to discern, as only a few sources mention this particular event. Thus, we don't quite know how old the Sapa Inca was. However, he was still quite mobile, as he didn't assign the campaign to someone else. And as we'll see, The rebellion was worth mentioning if only to witness the interesting interactions with some of the Huacas. The rebellion itself took place on the central coast, but with groups we have not heard of. The Alancunas, the Calancus, and the Chaquis. And frankly, I can't exactly pinpoint where on the coast these groups were located. However, these groups were able to put up quite a fight, successfully frustrating the Inca for 12 years. Annoyed by the fact that this particular rebellion was giving the Inca so many problems, Tupac Inca Yupanqui demanded that several Huacas be brought to him so that he may consult them as to what he should do. When seeking their counsel and asking them for help, the Sapa Inca became even more vexed when they did not answer immediately. From the Huarochirí manuscript, "Yo, speak up. Shall people you've made and fostered perish in this way, savaging one another? If you refuse to help me, I'll have you burned immediately. Why would I serve you and adorn you with my gold, with my silver, with basketfuls of my food and drinks, with my llamas and everything else I have? Now that you have heard the greatness of my grief, won't you come to my aid? If you do refuse, you'll burn immediately." Finally, the great Huaca of the coast, Pachacamac, answered, "Inca, midday sun, as for me, I didn't reply because I am a power who would shake you and the whole world around you. It wouldn't be those enemies alone whom I would destroy, but you as well, and the entire world would end with you. That is why I have sat silent." Basically, Pachacamac is explaining that if he were to intervene, the earthquakes he would summon would destroy everything, including the Inca. But Huaca Macaussi spoke up. "Inca, midday sun, I'll go there. You must remain here, instructing your people and making plans. I'll go and subdue them for you, right away, once and for all." The Huaca Macaussi then boarded a litter and was carried to the rebellious area to assist the Inca in defeating their enemies. Once again, from the Huarochirí manuscript. As soon as they brought him up a hill, Macaussi, child of Paria Caca, began to rain upon them, gently at first. The natives of that country said, "What could this mean?" and began to ready themselves. When they did so, Macaussi reduced all those villages to eroded chasms by flashing lightning and pouring down more rain and washing them away in a mudslide. Striking with lightning bolts, he exterminated the great Caracas and all of the other strong men. Only a few of the common people were spared. If he wanted to, he could have exterminated them all. When he had overpowered them completely, he drove some of the people back to Cusco. With the rebellious groups destroyed in one fell swoop, Macaussi was held in high regard by the Inca afterwards. So was it the power of Macaussi that ended the rebellion on the central coast? Rostworowski does not rule out that climactic forces may have played a part in ending the rebellion in her book, History of the Inca Realm. Landslides are known to have been a fairly common occurrence, especially after a heavy rain, and such an event would have devastated any town or encampment unfortunate enough to be caught within its path. And the Inca often brought Huacas with them on campaign, so if one was consulted and present during such an event, the Inca likely connected the event back to the Huaca. Whether it was just natural forces or the divine intervention of a Huaca, after 12 years of rebellion, the central coast was pacified, and Tupac Inca Yupanqui was able to turn his attention to other projects. And what were those other projects that Tupac would work on? Well, that depends upon the source that you read. we've already discussed how the Sapa Inca continued to upgrade the huaca at the Island of the Sun, and that likely continued throughout his days. But let's talk about some projects around Cuzco. We are told that Tupac oversaw several building projects in and around the Cuzco area. This shouldn't be surprising to us, though. Remember, Tupac instituted numerous building projects as he was on campaign. Roads, tambos, temples, etc. And every ruler seeks to put their own mark on the capital. Now, we aren't told of anything too specific within the city limits, other than the Pacamarca and Cusicancha are both associated with Tupac, the latter being where he was born. However, if you read Narrative of the Incas by Juan de Betanzos, you may come away with the impression that Tupac built Sacsayhuaman. Sacsayhuaman, you say? I thought that was built long ago. And you are right, dear listener, it was built long ago. The site and foundations of Sacsayhuaman likely go back into the Quilque period, possibly before. Well before Tupac or even his father, Pachacuti. Nevertheless, Betanzos claims that Pachacuti left it to Tupac to create the head of the Puma for the city of Cuzco. I have little doubt that both Tupac and Pachacuti worked on Sacsayhuaman in some form. Rulers tended to upgrade some of the buildings of their predecessors so they could point to it and say, "Hey, look what I did." So again, if you come across any accounts or claims that it was Tupac who built Sacsayhuaman, just keep in mind that it was likely just a remodel, upgrade, or addition to the great citadel and temple. One project we know Tupac took part in is his estate at Chinchero. Currently, the estate of Chinchero sits within the district of its namesake. Polygonal masonry was employed in the building of various structures, most of which are Kayanka halls. Pictures of the site are on the website and are sourced from Monuments of the Inca by John Hemming. Pictures by Edward Rainey. It was not long after Chinchero was built, though, that Tupac's health began to decline. Age is a very difficult thing to gauge for any Sapa Inca, and Tupac is no different. I've seen 85 years old being one claim, but we don't truly know. Regardless of age, Tupac retired to his estate to live out his final days. And when he felt his time was coming, he ordered the lords of Cuzco to come to his side. When they arrived, Tupac told them that he was going to join his father Inti shortly. The lords asked who he wished to name as heir. They asked this knowing the Sapa Inca's answer already, Titu Cuzi Yupanqui. Before this moment, we are told that the lords of Cuzco were not so convinced that it should be Titu Cuzi Yupanqui to don the fringe. Yet, in that moment, they agreed with the dying Inca, and Titu became the heir. Tupac then requested that his nephew, Yamqui Yupanqui, or Yamqui Yupanqui II, come forth along with Titu Cuzi Yupanqui. Tupac made Yamqui the chief purveyor of all livestock within the empire. And this is a more important position than what it sounds. Yamqui Yupanqui would have the final say in how the empire's herds of llama and other animals would be sacrificed and consumed during ceremonies, feasts, and festivals. Tupac then had Yamqui take the borla and place it on the head of his cousin, Titu Cuzi Yupanqui, cementing the latter as the heir. Uturunku Akachi and Apu Gualpaya were both designated by the Sapa Inca as governors of the empire until Titu came of age. We've met Uturunku Akachi before. He fought alongside his brother Tupac during the rebellion in Andasuyu and was named Karaka of that corner of the empire. We know little about Apu Gwalpaya, though, other than that we are told he was also a brother of Tupac and had excelled at administration. Before he died, all were told that they should respect Tupac's koya and the mother of Titu Kuzi Yupanqui, Mama Oklo. And with that, Tupac Inca Yupanqui then joined his father, Inti. The traditional funerary rites, with all the sacrifices, mourning periods, and feasts of Purukaya, were then held. The name changes depending upon the source you read. Tupac, Topa, Tupa, but they all refer to arguably one of the greatest Sapa Inca. Tupac has been with us since episode 21. Seemingly out of nowhere, he was named the heir apparent by his father Pachacuti, possibly at the insistence of the lords of Cusco. For his first taste of leadership, Tupac went north on campaign with his brother Yemki Yupanqui, or Amaru Tupac, depending upon the source. He would travel as far north as modern-day Quito, conquering dozens of groups in the process. Next, Tupac traveled south along the coast and defeated the equally great empire in the Chimor. In doing so, the entire coast of Peru would soon fall under Inca control. As Sapa Inca, Tupac Inca Yupanqui traversed the darkness of Andasuyu to put down a rebellion, only to have to travel south into Collasuyu to put down yet another. Tupac set out on an expedition of a lifetime as he marched his army all the way to the Maule River in Chile. And all this time as he was marching and conquering, he was building roads, tambos, temples, administrative centers. Tupac realized that all of this infrastructure was necessary to run an efficient empire. And he implemented all of these projects while he was heir, while he was a co-ruler with Pachacuti, or with his brother Yemki Yupanqui, and while he was the lone Sapa Inca. Tupac Inca Yupanqui's life was very much defined by the campaign trail, expanding the empire, building it, and ending anyone who rose against him. Pachacuti is often seen as the greatest Sapa Inca, and great arguments can be made for that. But arguments can also be made for Tupac. However, there is a reason why it is Pachacuti and not Tupac Inca Yupanqui, who is the most revered by history. And the time will come when that reason is revealed on this podcast. For now, though, Tupac's mummy will be in the background of our story, consulted by his son, and cared for by his panaka. It will have its part to play in due time. But that time is not now. With Tupac now gone, his son, no longer Titu Kuzi Yupanqui, but Juana Capac, is now Sapa Inca. The Inca Empire is enormous and hostile, both in terrain and the people who lived within it. How will Juana Capac govern such a vast area? We will have to wait and see. And with that, everyone, I must leave you. I will be on hiatus for the next several months, though as you may recall, this is far from a break, as I expect plenty of sleepless nights ahead, as my wife and I look after the two latest additions to our family. As I said earlier, I suspect the show will return in August or maybe even September, depending on how things are going and how I am feeling. Please follow the show on social media to keep up to date about the schedule. Thank you all for listening. Stay safe, and I will see you all next time.